Let me start with a hard question this morning. What if moments that we call the most anointed are actually the least formed? I believe in many churches today, volume gets confused with authority, emotion with maturity, and spiritual intensity with spiritual health. If it's loud, spontaneous, unpredictable, obviously the Holy Spirit is at work, right? Actually, I've seen moments labeled spirit-led that leave people confused, disillusioned, and even wounded, because zeal can run ahead of discernment and experience can outrun formation. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't bypass the mind. He doesn't override character, and he never contradicts the lordship of Jesus Christ. In fact, he always affirms it. So when spiritual experiences aren't anchored in scripture, community, and Christ-centered discernment, the result isn't revival, it's damage control. And today we're going beyond the ignorance, from hype to health, from spectacle to substance, and from uncontrolled moments to spirit-empowered maturity in the local church. And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is the place where our passion is to equip servant leaders to see the full expression of Jesus in the local church. And this is our podcast series on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm Charles Russell.
And I'm Bruce Ritter, and we want to greet you. We're so glad that you could be with us. For us, it's a Monday morning, but for you, it could be any time during the week. In any event, we're glad that you're here with us. And Charles, we've had some exciting things to happen around the Five Gifts, our ministry, and extension of our podcast. So tell me about some things that happened this past weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, what a great weekend we had in the central part of North Carolina with a fellow friend and colleague. And he invited us to come and do some training on Saturday with their prayer teams, their prayer ministry. And so, man, Bruce, we just had it. I know you and I enjoyed it. Hopefully they did. They seemed to told us they did. But Bruce did a phenomenal job training on deliverance prayer, and just as always, man, just excellent. And then I had the honor to teach on healing prayer. So we worked through really the same model of praying, but adapting that towards deliverance prayer and then healing prayer. And then we turned them loose on Sunday morning. Yesterday we had a great Sunday, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of vision coming out of the training room on Saturday, being prepared. And then yesterday, just a tremendous response at the altar time, as our prayer teams were stationed in the altar area. And I would say for a good hour, they asked me to preach, and so I preached a message. And then we probably spent a good hour in the altars. It's people coming to these prayer teams, just receiving times of extended prayers, extended ministry, and just some great outcomes in people's lives, people being touched, people receiving Holy Spirit solutions, God's solutions that really went to the core issues of their lives. And just so thankful that we were able to be a part of that, able to come and assist. And already established prayer ministry, but help them go to a next level, maybe, and really intensify expand the scope of their prayer ministry, and to help them think through and envision what this kind of prayer in the sanctuary could look like as it's turned toward the community. And so I'm really excited for future testimonies to hear about what's going to come out of the training and the prayer experiences that we had yesterday. It was just a great weekend through and through, no doubt.
Charles, that energizes me. It feels like a double win. You had needs of the community, people being met in prayer, but you also had a church that freshly equipped and energized about knowing how to navigate the means of praying with people and praying for specific issues and needs, whether it's ministries of healing or deliverance and freedom. And so that's really exciting to hear. And it was so energizing to be part of that on Saturday with you. And so I just appreciate these opportunities the Lord seems to be raising up for us with the five gifts. I'll be in Brussels this coming weekend and teaching some church planters and working through the church life missional model and equipping them in the area of the formation of Christ's body according to the five gifts of Ephesians 4. And so I'm excited to be there with another church life colleague that you and I have known. And so we're excited to be part of this. And it just seems like 2026 is presenting some brand new opportunities for us. But as always, we're glad to be here on the podcast with everybody and to keep discussion going.
Bruce, it's exciting, you know, when you begin to take new ground, take steps of faith, and that leads to taking new ground. And that the Lord just seems to be opening up opportunities for us at in the Five Gifts Foundation, which you know, our podcast comes under that moniker, you know, expanding us in international territories. You know, we've been faithful in the Dominican Republic, ventured to Kenya, and now you're going to Brussels. We've got some preliminary talks into some other countries that hopefully are going to kind of pan out, and just seeing some new opportunities, some new burgeoning opportunities, you know, in international ministry in the nations. And then, you know, another new step, a new opportunity that God is opening for us is, you know, we're going to be doing our first pastors conference, training conference here in the Dallas, Texas area, coming up in May. And so this is a new door, new step for us here in the United States. And so, you know, we'll be getting more information out about that. But it's really a unique opportunity as we're going to be training intercultural pastors, you know, in how to form the church through the five gifts. And so I know you and I have talked at length about new ground for our pastors' conferences in the States. And you know, that seems to be opening up. And even not to get too far ahead, but other parts of the country, it looks like, you know, could be opening up for some pastors' conferences and for that to begin to expand for us. So I'm so grateful to God. His hand seems to be blessing what we're doing, and that's really you know, as two Pentecostal ministers, you know, we're always trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, reaching and searching and trying to step toward what we sense the Lord doing. And you know, there's always some there's always that tension of, all right, is this something I'm producing, or am I truly following the leading and the work of the Spirit? You know, when God brings that affirmation and confirmation that we're on the right track, you know, that's always it's always an exciting time. So anyway, yeah.
Well, you know, the Five Gifts Foundation, which you mentioned, which is really the umbrella of ministry for us, whether it's the podcast or our missions trips. I mean, we've been doing missions trips for years, and you know, the heartbeat of our vision ever since the founding of this ministry was to go to veterans with vision and to help them, to resource them, to teach them, to even help them raise funds in the nations. And you know, what's interesting is it seems like that the nations have come to us now. And so, like, for example, this conference that's coming for us in Dallas coming up in the next few months. What a chance to resource people that are building the body of Christ in the international community in the United States, Hispanic, Latino churches, churches that are both their heart language is Spanish, or their heart language is Portuguese, Swahili speaking communities, French speaking communities. So we're just blown away and humbled that really the heartbeat, like I said, the heartbeat of our vision is to go to veterans with vision who long to see Christ's kingdom raised up. And so what a wonderful opportunity that we're seeing. The Lord open doors for us to do that. Again, equipping leaders in the body of Christ to form Jesus's church in the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like I said, we'll get some information out about this upcoming conference. But if you're going to be in the Dallas, Texas area in first part of May, come join us, and we'd love for you to be a part of this of church and spiritual formation through the five gifts. And so, hey, we'd love to accommodate you, love for you to be a part of this new opportunity of intercultural ministry here in the United States. Absolutely. Well, Bruce, did I cut you off? Anything you wanted to say? Anything else?
No. I think we probably got some content we ought to talk about today, you know, for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a podcast episode happening. So, well, let's get to it. Bruce, you've already talked about, really named and identified the tension that many of us as Pentecostal leaders, we feel, but rarely articulate. And it's really kind of comes down to a question of how do we cultivate authentic spiritual power without reproducing spiritual confusion? And so, you know, the gifts of the Spirit were never meant to decorate the church, but however, they are essential to the mission of the church. And Acts 10 makes it unmistakably clear when the Spirit falls on Cornelius' household. Peter doesn't manage it. He doesn't stage it. He's not there to credential it. Scripture says that the Spirit fell on them just as he did on us. And, you know, that moment it really establishes a permanent theological truth. And that truth is this: the supernatural is the inheritance of the entire church. It's not just the possession of a professional elite. And so, what a powerful truth! What a powerful truth that our desire and our prayer is that the church would live into that truth, that it's available and it's for all of us as the body of Christ. But there's just so many congregations that still operate with a type of functional clergy laity divide that it quietly quenches the Spirit. And so today, we want to see the local church become what Jesus intended, a living, vital organism, where every member, a Spirit-enabled, every gathering, a dynamic, life-giving encounter with Christ. And so today, we're going to ground that vision in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. We're going to try to build a bridge from Paul's corrective theology right into our Sunday morning leadership decisions. And so, Bruce, how does the Bible want us to understand spiritual gifts in the life of the church?
Getting into Scripture, again, one of my favorite sins in all of Scripture, in the New Testament at least, is this span of Paul's teaching on spiritual gifts in Corinthians 12 through 14. So yeah, I'm excited to get into this passage, because Paul opens it with some instructional pastoral urgency. And he says, now concerning spiritual matters, not necessarily spiritual gifts, but just the operation of the Spirit in the local church. And Paul says, now concerning these spiritual matters, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. Another translation would say uninformed. And I think that word matters. Ignorance, uninformed, it basically means to lack information. It's the sense that the Corinthians, they weren't hostile to the Spirit. They weren't lacking in spiritual gifts, but they were misinformed. And that brought some problems because of their old life. In that mindset of the Gentile world that Paul is advancing into with the gospel, there was what we might call an over-realized eschatology, the sense that many people believe once they'd come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit and have received the gospel and realized, hey, we're part of God's spiritual family now, there's a sense of arrival. There's the spiritual fullness that's inherent, I think, in anyone who comes to full redemption in Christ and the operation of the Holy Spirit in their life. There is this sense to say, hey, we've arrived. We've overcome and we've escaped our old lives. And so, but things like discipline, obedience, and formation, they tend to feel unnecessary when you believe you're already living in glory. And so Paul counters that with a simple, but I think a profound discernment test, which is basically this: what does the experience say about Jesus? Or what does the experience produce about Jesus? So in pagan worship, loss of control was the goal, believe it or not. Just the absolute bypassing of the mind and ecstatic experiences. But in Spirit-filled worship, Jesus's lordship is the result. Now, no manifestation, no matter how intense, can contradict the confession, Jesus is Lord. And this isn't just verbal, it's behavioral. Doctrine, conduct, and our confession must align together. So in leadership, here's how you teach that. So remember, these Corinthians are coming from a very pagan mindset. Their worship was characterized by losing control, by being whipped into a lather and frenzy where they lost control. And so they espouse a philosophy when it came to spirituality, which basically says we've got to bypass the mind. That was a spiritual virtue in their pagan worship. We bypass the intellect, or we bypass the mind. In fact, that's characteristic of a lot of Eastern religious philosophy, the idea of emptying the mind. So even the great philosopher Plato would say, no one in possession of his understanding has reached divine and true exaltation. What is that sentiment? It's simply this, that you have to empty the mind, that you have to bypass the mind to have true divine knowledge. That's a very pagan idea. We contrast that with the Christian mindset. The Christian mindset is, let the word of Christ fill you. Let it dwell you richly, as Colossians 3 says. It says, be filled with the Spirit. So again, this is a very different idea than the pagan mindset. And again, the pagan worship was about occult powers tapping into mysterious knowledge and information sources that came from the ethereal plane. It was sensual. In fact, boy, how terrible it was that so much of the pagan worship was very sexualized and objectifying. And then it was an isolated experience. People's spirituality in the pagan world was very individual. It wasn't community-centric. And that's something that a lot of people fail to understand when it comes to Christian spirituality. Man, God has ordained that you and I grow together with others. That's a very different mindset than the Corinthians had learned in their pagan experience. So that was their mindset. But what about the Spirit's enablement for the believer? Well, Paul says in verse 3, and he says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So even your ability to confess that Christ is your Lord and Savior, that has to come by the Holy Spirit. And so in the body of Christ, everything that that comes out in our worship, everything that is expressed in our spiritual gifts, everything that should happen in the public teaching of the Word of God, it is about affirming the Lordship of Jesus. That really is the nature of true Spirit-filled ministry. So again, that's the governing work of the Holy Spirit, not the emptying of the mind and just going haywire with whatever would come into your being. And so the mind is not bypassed; it's renewed. It's not erased. It's made new. And so, rather than being uninformed, you might remember that Paul says often, he says, "Be renewed in your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So again, the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, and also in the body of Christ, is about renewing the mind, making it more and more like Jesus. And again, Paul would say this, and Charles is going to share more on this in just a minute, but the activity of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Father, the Son, man, when we come together and worship, we're seeing all aspects of the triune Godhead moving in our midst. He's working in specific ways. And then finally, all Christian spiritual enablement is about the edification of the body. That's spiritual formation of the individual as well as the spiritual community. So again, we might say that if a manifestation in any way dehumanizes or dethrones Christ in any way, or it fragments him, it's not the Holy Spirit. It is always affirming the Lordship of Jesus. So Paul here is not anti-spiritual experience. He's not condemning spiritual gifts. In fact, he's setting it up to say, we want you to go after more spiritual gifts. We want you to desire, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but not by being spiritually ignorant. So Charles, take us further in the discussion.
Sure, yeah. So Paul now moves to a place of dismantling spiritual elitism. As we move into verses 4-6, he dismantles spiritual elitism with Trinitarian precision, if you will. So there's, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of workings, but the same God. It sounds poetic, but it's more than poetic. This is structural theology. Paul's laid it down brick by brick for us, really forming up this theology for us. He's using words like in the Greek language, words like charismata. The Spirit supplies the tools. So the gifts, the Spirit gives the gifts. A word like diakonia, the Lord directs the ministry, the services. a word like energema, the Father produces the outcome. It's the energy behind the work. This is the kind of framework and structure that Paul's building in this theology for us. No one owns the gift. No ministry exists independently. When you look at John 5:19, Jesus talks about, really, he talks about this. He says, "I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing." The Spirit's empowered his ministry, and now Jesus is saying, "I'm submitting myself. I'm submitting myself to the Father. I'm not acting independently." I just think that's so profound in that verse of scripture. Here Jesus, who's fully God, could do whatever he wanted to do. Who's going to stop him, right? Nobody. But he doesn't act independently. He understands this dynamic, this flow here that Paul's teaching, and Jesus acts under submission. Empowered by the Spirit in submission to the Father. And look, no result can be claimed as a personal achievement. We can't kind of plant our flag and say, look what I have done. No, it's look what God has done. God has empowered this. God has directed this. God has produced the outcome. This is all God. This is the work of the Spirit. This is the work of the Spirit in us and through us. And Paul is really laying down this theology for us. And while the baptism of the Spirit is foundational, the distribution of gifts is truly, it's ongoing and it's situational. You don't build an identity around a gift, but you submit to a calling and the Spirit equips you for the task. And so this really creates a mutual dependence rather than competition. It breeds unity, and unity flows naturally when the source is one. And so, man, just some powerful ideas Paul is laying down for us here. And Bruce, why don't you help us continue the conversation as we look further here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember that, Charles, as you said, that we're operating under the activity of God. This is not about creating a platform for ourselves, an identity for ourselves, but rather participating in the ongoing work of the Spirit with others. And verse 7 even says, really brings everything down to ground level, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the idea is that as a believer, to participate in a spiritual gift and to share that is not, it doesn't end with what's happening in you. It's what is transpiring in others when you share that gift. And that can happen, I think, at a corporate level. It can happen at a personal level. But the idea is that whatever the Holy Spirit is releasing in our lives through spiritual gifts, it is about edifying others. And I think when you understand that it guards us from a couple of errors. For example, it doesn't reduce gifts to personality traits. I often cringe when I hear people talk about the fact that they are prophetic, or they are merciful, or they are wise in relation to the gifts of the Spirit that happen. And then those are not personality traits. That's the activity of the Holy Spirit. And I tend to think that if you spend a lot of time trying to identify yourself by the current activity of God in your life related to gifts, you may be limiting what He can do continually in your life through other gifts. I think we're supposed to embrace all of the gifts personally. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to operate at the same level of consistency or frequency when it comes to all the spiritual gifts, but don't limit yourself by focusing on just a few that feel good to you. So don't reduce those gifts to the traits of your personality. Secondly, don't treat gifts as divine hijackings. Remember, this is an incarnational framework. We're talking about a continuum where the natural and the supernatural meet. Again, remember, Paul says that the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is not bypassing your mind. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You're not out of control. You're not hijacked when it comes to spiritual gifts. God doesn't bypass your humanity. He redeems it. I mean, Charles, I love to hear the question, is it me or is it God? Because I think I've got the perfect answer for it. The answer is yes. Yeah. The gift of the Holy Spirit is going to come through you. It's going to sound like you. It's going to come through your personality and even your vocabulary, I think, plays a part in that. So don't limit God by saying, okay, I'm some automaton, some Android robot. I just need the download from God. In fact, can I just say personally, I hate that word download. When someone says I got a download from the Holy Spirit, I just cringe at that. I think your vocabulary matters. I think it's a divine partnership with the Holy Spirit. I think it's you opening yourself to saying, Holy Spirit, fill me and use me. I want to serve your people. And so your vocabulary matters, your character matters, and your emotional health matters. I believe it's important that healthy people operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I think we want to submit ourselves to not only allowing God to edify others through us, I think we ought to give ourselves to be edified through others. Because an immature vessel can distort genuine gift. And so I think healthy churches understand this, that we're not a stage, we're not a platform, we're a family. And we don't perform, we participate. And we grow together. And Charles, if I could just say one thing, I think that's coming to light in the last couple of years, there's been a real, if I might call it, an audit of the Holy Spirit on the charismatic community. And that even to the point where that some leaders have manufactured spiritual gifts, I don't know why. I tend to think once you create an atmosphere for spiritual ecstasy and experience, you often feel pressure to keep it up, keep it going. And we've seen data mining to enable people on platforms to speak profound words, personal words over the lives of people. Listen, I think that is a deadly symptom of letting ministry become a stage platform oriented ministry rather than a ministry that should take place in the sincerity of the body relating together.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. You're right on it. We have to guard ourselves against trying to manipulate and manufacture this, for our image, for our reputation. This is holy and purely the activity of God in the life of His church, in the life of His people. And if the work of the Spirit, if what we're portraying as the work of the Spirit is not grounded and sourced from the authentic work of God, then we have to tread lightly. We better back away from that. And I would even say, I wouldn't even associate, if you're part of those kind of ministries, churches, I would disconnect myself. And man, I'm telling you, you don't want to be part of that. You want to find the genuine and the authentic, and where God and God alone is receiving the honor and the glory for the work that's taking place. We talked some this weekend even about alignment, and I said something about John 5:19. That's where I go to Jesus, that I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. And so we align ourselves with the work of Christ. But how do we get there? Well, the Holy Spirit, 10 out of 10 times, He always leads us to Jesus. Amen. And so if I'm flowing and if I'm in alignment with the Holy Spirit, then his ministry is going to lead me to Jesus. And if I'm doing and saying and going where Jesus is going, then I know I'm in the will of the Father, because Jesus is only doing what He sees the Father doing. So just getting in this stream of alignment is critical for us, especially in the Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, charismatic world, as we move forward, because people don't need a fake, they don't need an imitation. What our world needs is an authentic move of God in our lives individually, in the church corporately, and in the world collectively. And that only comes through the church as we are in alignment with the triune God and with the work that he desires to do through his body, through his church. And so, I didn't mean to go down my own little rabbit trail.
Well said, Charlie. Well said.
But that's something we both feel strongly about. Let me pause here before we move to the next session. I'm getting a download, and I just want to complete that before. All right, download's complete. Send your negative comments and email to Bruce and he'll be glad to handle that. All right, let's talk about something we've kind of identified as a functional catalog. Paul's catalog of nine gifts is not a random list. In the Greek, the words allos, or another of the same kind, and heteros, another of a different kind, we see a functional division. Paul, he uses heteros to signal a structural shift in how the Spirit operates. And so what this does is it proves that diversity in the body is not accidental, it's by design. So let's take a look at kind of this categorical approach to the gifts. And so first category would be teaching, allos. And so those specific gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And the impact of these gifts on the church is that they shatter confusion through divine guidance and through doctrinal clarity. Second category would be one of ministry, heteros. And so these are gifts like faith and healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits. And the impact that these gifts have are they invade the impossible. They provide the power tools for spiritual warfare and for breakthrough. The final category would be one of worship. Again, heteros. And those specific gifts are tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the impact these gifts have are they exalt the attributes of God. They move the congregation from the horizontal into the vertical. And so I want to kind of pause and stop here on distinguishing between spirits just for a moment. Leaders, this is your weapon. This is our weapon for spiritual warfare. It's not just about seeing demons. Deliverance is often about, you know, breaking the bonding relationships, those relational attachments that we have, that believers can have with their occult past or even sinful patterns. It's not just an exorcism. It's a breaking of spiritual and psychological bonds to set the captive free for a new allegiance to Christ. And so wisdom is the gift for guidance, knowing how to apply God's truth to the street level problems that our people face. Deliverance is not, it's not a spectacle. It's not a show. It's not entertainment. Deliverance is all about liberation into new lordship.
Yeah, that's well said, Charles. I think that's important to remember. And, you know, the distinguishing of spirits or the discerning of spirits. Again, I love the categories that we see here. There's people have categorized the gifts in different ways, but I love the allos heteros dynamic that you shared there. And distinguishing the spirits is a ministry. It's something that flows to... I think in the ministry, especially of deliverance, that we understand how to lead people in the new life. Really, that's what happens, I think, more often in that ministry. It should be happening, that it's a part of someone's discipleship. So we finish with verse 11 today, and so verse 11 includes the word beletai, which means basically the Spirit determines. We see it in how He gives as He wills. In fact, verse 11 says He apportions each one individually as He wills. And this really is a cure for spiritual pride. Again, manifesting a gift is not a sign of spiritual attainment. And we should never confuse the fruit of the Spirit, which has to do with the character of Christ in our lives, with the gifts of the Spirit. You might categorize the gifts of the Spirit as the ministries of Jesus. The Corinthians were gifted as all get out, but they lacked character. They were behind the curve when it came to the fruit of the Spirit. You know, sovereignty isn't an excuse for a cold, dead church either. As W.I. Evans said, the gifts are already here. They're lying dormant. If your church is cold, it's not because the Spirit is absent. It's because you haven't pressed into God to bring those dormant gifts into exercise. We see this time and time again. Really, the difference in between churches that are cessationists and churches that are continuist is a theological issue. It's a practice rooted in that theology. And so we want to encourage people to welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to create space to practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to welcome that dynamic of the Lord moving in our midst. Now, here are some action steps for leaders. Train your people to be more sensitive to the person in the next chair than they own to their own emotional experience. Foster that sensitivity to say, what can I do to elevate other people, edify other people in the body of Christ? Number two, reward genuineness over perfection. God uses fallible instruments, and if you demand perfection, you'll quench the fire. Create times of practice. Create times of growth, and reward that genuine seeking after gifts of the Spirit. And then lastly, create those low-stakes laboratories. Charles, you and I are big fans of putting spiritual gifts into small group practice, inter meetings, where places where believers can exercise their gifts without the fear of being in the flesh, or the pressure to bring a gift out in a large public worship service. Boy, there's a lot less fear when it comes to bringing those gifts into a smaller group and the chance to practice those gifts and learn to become more fluent in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in a person's life. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground today, Charles. And as we close today, here's the tension we want to leave with you. The Holy Spirit is not withdrawn from the church, but he is often misunderstood. So spiritual power without formation doesn't lead to maturity. It can lead to confusion. And leadership that avoids discernment in the name of freedom ends up costing people their faith. So let's slow down and reflect, not as critics, but as shepherds. In fact, we'd like you to consider a couple of questions this morning. Just be thinking, ask yourself, that is there any place in your leadership, what do you want to reward the most? Do you want to reward spiritual intensity or spiritual fruit? Or maybe you can ask yourself, have you ever labeled something Spirit-led without testing whether or not it's actually exalting the Lordship of Jesus and edifying people? Leave your comments below. We love the dialogue. Also, we love you to follow us and follow our podcast, our YouTube channel. You can subscribe by hitting the subscribe button. But if this episode has helped you in any way, share it with someone. Again, we care about you, and we want to see your ministry grow. And if this conversation is stirring something in you, questions about discernment or leadership culture or spirit-filled maturity, we'd love to talk to you. You can visit charlesrusselltraining.com and charlesrussellministries.com for resources that Charles has designed to help leaders bridge theology and practice. And if you're navigating these tensions personally, explore some spiritual life coaching at coachingcardia.com. We want to encourage you. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you clarity, courage, and wisdom as you lead your congregation this week. Stay anchored in Christ and be attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit and faithful to the people that God has entrusted with you. And we'll see you next time on the Five Gifts Podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.